Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As an author, I get the power of the book review. A review can nudge readers to buy a book or, of course, steer them to a galaxy far away. But here's the thing. Bad reviews can come out even before a book does. It's called review bombing. And we have asked Here and Now book expert Tracy Thomas to come and talk about it. Tracy, thanks for dialing in.
Thanks for having me.
So let's go straight to an example of this review bombing. Elizabeth Gilbert, best-selling author of Eat, Pray, Love. Her new novel, The Snow Forest, is set in Siberia, as in Russia. And long before it came out, it got hundreds of one-star reviews on this website, Goodreads. Tell us what happened.
So Goodreads is a sort of book-related social media, if you will. You can have an account where you review books that you've read. You can keep track of books that you want to read. And Goodreads is a place that a lot of independent booksellers use to figure out what books coming out people are interested in. So if a book is on the horizon and a lot of people are reading early copies, which are called advanced reader copies, they're called ARCs. If people are reading the ARCs and they're reviewing it well, a bookseller might say, oh, look, this book is getting a lot of buzz on Goodreads. Maybe we should order some copies. It looks like people might want it in the store. So that's sort of like the way that Goodreads can work. And in the case of Elizabeth Gilbert, her new book is set in Russia, in Siberia, and it's about a family. And people weren't necessarily attacking the book. They were attacking the idea or the premise of a Russian family sort of seeking refuge from Soviet oppression during this current war between Ukraine and Russia.
And to be clear, the book has nothing to do with today's Russia, Russia-Ukraine, this war, right?
Yes, correct. It's historical fiction. It's set in the mid-20th century. So it has nothing to do with what's going on now, but there was this feeling that sort of perhaps glorifying Russians was insensitive to what's going on in Ukraine and Russia currently. And so people left these reviews, and Elizabeth Gilbert, who is known to be very in tune with her fans, decided that she didn't want to publish a book that people were going to be upset about. And, you know, I'm sort of two minds on that front. I sort of feel like you should just publish the book, but I also sort of feel like, shout out to her for respecting her fans enough to say, look, if you people don't want this book, if the people who love me don't want this book and feel like this book is harmful, I'm not going to put it out in the world. And I think like that is also really admirable. And I think so often when people get in trouble later for publishing something that is offensive or whatever it looks like, there's always this conversation of like, well, why didn't someone stop this book? Who was at the publisher? Why didn't anybody say no to this? And so I do think that in this case, Elizabeth Gilbert said, okay, let's say no to this.
All right. So that's one example of a book that didn't come out, at least for now. Another example of this review bombing is the book Everything's Fine. It's about a young Black woman who falls in love with a white colleague with bigoted views. A chorus of people on Goodreads call it racist. They call it anti-Black. Its debut sales, it turns out, are lukewarm. Did you follow this?
So this book I've actually read. And what's unfortunate about this book being sort of the poster child for this review bombing idea is that this book really wasn't that good. And I personally didn't like the book, and I rated it on Goodreads, and I didn't rate it high. But it wasn't because I was angry about the premise of the book. It was because it was executed poorly and the writing wasn't great. And I think that's also become this interesting thing is that the author, Cecilia Rabes, has become this person who's like, poor Cecilia, people ruined her book. But in this case, I feel like, you know, somebody should have stopped this book. Somebody should have said, what are we doing here? Because it is kind of racist and it is kind of offensive. And it's a romance novel about a Black woman who falls in love with her Trump-supporting coworker who has constant microaggressions against her. And she's kind of has this refrain of like, love is love. And to me, I just don't know that we need a book like that in 2023 out in the world. But what I do think is interesting about this particular situation is it was a debut novel by a Black author. And these review bombs often come from people who are anti-Black, anti-trans, anti-gay, and they attack these debut authors who are from those groups without ever having read the book. And I do think that that's really problematic. And so while I personally felt like this book is not a great book to be an example of what happened, because I didn't think that the book was any good, I do think that this propensity to sort of quote unquote cancel a book before it ever comes out is really damaging to debut authors, is really damaging to Black authors, is really damaging to queer authors. But in this case, it's sort of a tricky one because the book just, you know, maybe deserved it a little bit. I mean, it didn't deserve the review bombing, but it didn't necessarily deserve to be held up as this beacon of literature.
I guess the question I have for you, Tracy, setting aside this book, is do you file this under our social media online polarization, just a version of the book ban wars we're having in this country?
This is coming from readers in a way that a lot of the book banning is not. A lot of the book banning is coming from seven moms in one place or another.
These are
there's thousands of these reviews when they review bomb. So I do think it's slightly different in the sense that, like, it's a communal response. And I think publishing is very difficult to communicate with if you're a reader. You know, it's not like a newspaper where you can write the editor. And so I think this is one way that people have found that if you get enough people to have an opinion about something, maybe the publisher will pay attention. But I do think that piling on and leaving these reviews when books haven't been read is a real problem. And I think that it's a problem that Goodreads, who's owned by Amazon, they need to address. I think they need to figure out some solutions. And this isn't a new thing. It's just been in the news recently. And, you know, they've really done nothing to protect authors and readers from themselves and each other.
Tracy, let's spend a couple minutes talking about books that have made it into the public domain that you're reading and that you recommend. What's at the top of your list?
So I'm going to give you all books that have come out in July. I'm going to give you my inside hot summer reads. The first one is a book called When Crack Was King by Donovan X. Ramsey. And it's a people's history of a misunderstood era. So Donovan talks to four people who were affected by the crack epidemic of the 1980s and 90s.
Yeah.
And he weaves those voices with history and analysis from politics and culture. And it's just a fantastic book.
Yeah, that's on my list as somebody who observed, kind of lived it in real time in the 80s. You also have 24 Hours in Charlottesville.
Yeah, so this is an oral history of the 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. Oh. It's mostly focused, as the title suggests, on the 24 hours from the night before the rally where they marched with those tiki torches all the way through the late afternoon, early evening on the day that Heather Heyer was killed after the rally didn't exactly happen. And it's very short. It is so propulsive. I had like goosebumps as I was reading it because, of course, as a reader, you know where it's going, right? You know where this event is headed. And it's just like you can't get off the train.
Yeah. Well, and it puts it together for those of us who remember seeing the first night on the campus of the University of Virginia and then the day that ensued. That's on my list.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Finally, you have A Country of the Blind by Andrew Leland.
This book, all three of these books are so good. I have to just say they all might end up on my end of the year list. But Country of the Blind is a fantastic memoir. Andrew is a person who is diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, or RP, and it means that he's slowly going blind over time. He was diagnosed as a teenager, and he's writing his own memoir, his own thoughts and feelings about what's going on with his body and his mind and his family. Oh. But also he decides to go into blind communities and dig into blind culture. And it just totally flipped the script on how I think about a lot of things. So I just highly recommend this book.
Yeah. Tracy Thomas is host of the podcast The Stacks, here with her July recommendations and her thoughts on review bombing. Tracy, thank you as always.
Thank you so much.
And we should mention, Amazon supports NPR and pays to distribute some of our content.